It's time once again to step out, step up, and step into the Coming Out Lounge, a safe space to be you and your truth with Coming Out Coach Rick Clemons. Rick's expertise in the coming out process has helped hundreds of men and women ignite their inner desires to powerfully step out of the closet and into the light of living authentically as gays and lesbians. Freeing you from the feelings of guilt or shame, Rick offers take action tips for basking in the glow of self-love, easy to implement tools for wrapping yourself up in the warm embrace of self-acceptance, and take it to the bank advice on how to step courageously into a powerful, purpose-filled life on the other side of the closet doors. Each week, the Coming Out Lounge brings you heartwarming coming out stories, insights for living authentically as a gay or lesbian, and challenges you to step out of the ordinary and into your extraordinary life. Pull up a chair, cuddle up with the truth of who you've always been, and let's spend an hour in the Coming Out Lounge discovering how to energetically step out, step up, and step into living your truth. Here's the host of your show, Coming Out Coach Rick.
Hello, Closet Busters. It is time once again to stop that closet dwelling and to step out, step up, and step into living your powerful truth. Can I get a you betcha on that one? Of course, we all want to be living our powerful truth. And I got to tell you, today's guest is all about living your powerful truth in your dating and love life. Now, I got to tell you, she's been through the ringer on this. She's been married, divorced, dated, and just recently got married again. And she's not somebody who is going to fluff you around and make it easy for you when it comes to dating stuff. Her name is Marnie Batista. She is the founder of Dating with Dignity, and she's a really good friend of mine. She's kicked my booty a few times as we've worked together throughout our coaching experiences. And I've got to tell you, this gal knows what it means to really date with dignity. In fact, Ryan Seacrest called her one of the best dating coaches in Los Angeles. I think he actually said the best dating coach in Los Angeles. She's been featured in Cosmopolitan Magazine, Yahoo Shine, Huffington Post, Men's Fitness, Glamour, and more. And I got to tell you, she's not just going to tell you what you want to hear. She's going to help us all step into a really, really beautiful place where we can learn to date with dignity. And I've been wanting to have her on ever since we became friends, because she predominantly works with heterosexual women and heterosexual men. But I've always told her, man, Marnie, we've got a whole show we could do working with my gay and lesbian brothers and sisters. So without any more to do, I want to welcome to the show Marnie Batista.
Hey, I love that intro. I feel all fluffy and pretty, so thank you.
Well, you are all fluffy and pretty. So, you know, and I love what you do in the dating world. We've been friends for a good long time. We've had lots of conversations about dating. We've both been through divorces and remarriages. Actually, we both just got married in the last couple of years, so we've made it round two. So here we are. But what I love about what you do, Marnie, is you do the raw stuff. So let's just kind of like really dive in right out the gate into the raw stuff. So from where you sit, working with all these people, and you've worked with probably what, hundreds at this point?
Well, thousands.
That's what I was going to say, because when we take into account the radio stuff you do and the calls you do and the one-on-one work, you're well into the thousands at this point. So when you're working with this these people, what is one of the biggest dating mistakes that people are making right now in modern times?
Well, I'll just go right for like you said, the deep raw stuff. I think the biggest mistake that I see, and it really breaks my heart, is that when people wonder why they're single or why they keep making the same mistake, they're asking the wrong question. They are looking for the easy answer, and 97% of the time, the reason you think you're single is actually not the reason you're single. That said, it's really easy to blame those other things, like the city you live in, because, you know, gay men don't commit. Whatever your story is about why you're single, right, easy, you get to blame someone else. And that's tragic.
It is tragic, because we start to go put the story on other stuff when the real story, and you and I both know this because we've talked about it, the real story starts with us, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And so it's really the story that you tell yourself about you when you're laying there in the dark of the night with the sort of tears kind of dripping down into your ears, when someone rejects you or when you make the same mistake that you vowed you would never do again. You know, it's what we say to ourselves. That's really the better question to ask is, what are those messages? What am I telling myself? And how is that impacting my ability to love and to allow love into my life?
Well, absolutely. And I love this because you and I work with people, not just in dating. You know, I don't just work with people in coming out. We attract other people into our lives that they may come to us for business help, or they may come to us for, you know, health issues and stuff like that. But at the end of the chain of conversation, it's always about the stories we're telling ourselves. That's the thing that's hanging us up. And so when we get these people coming to us for dating stuff, what I always find amazing is they may start with the dating stuff, but as soon as we start to open them up around dating, relationships, loving, caring, self-care, everything else gets to shift in their lives. And I think this is a bonus they don't often see coming to them.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I always talk about, you know, people find me because they want to know, like, how do I get someone to pursue me, or how can I get over my breakup? And that's great, because I'll give you, you know, some advice on that all day long. But when you start to look at it from a different lens, then you can really make some powerful shifts, and you can start to realize, and this is really the secret to all the success stories that we have created at Dating with Dignity. The secret is you are responsible 100% for creating the result that you want. And once you start to go like, really, you know, like, and dip your toe in that possibility, it's kind of cool how things can change. In fact, we just did a retreat 1 week ago, and we did some really powerful deep work. And it's amazing. You know, the women are posting in our private Facebook group, wow, like, all of a sudden men are noticing me. I'm getting looks. I'm feeling really sexy today. You know, and it's like literally 2 weeks ago, they were like, men suck, dating sucks, women suck, you know, like, whatever it is. And so it's really powerful once you decide to make the choice.
Well, I think that's it, deciding to make the choice, which kind of leads to one of my questions I had for you is, you know, people can't seem to wrap their head around this casual dating sort of concept. I mean, at least my guys, they're always like, well, I don't know if I can casual date two or three people at the same time. And I think this, again, is coming into your headspace of, okay, how are you doing this? Whether it's casually dating two or three guys at the same time, or nobody's going to notice me, it's all about the headspace we put ourselves in. So those women showed up at your retreat, and I know we're talking, you know, to my gay and lesbian brothers and sisters.
Right.
So put your head around that this is common stuff, folks. Let's not do the gay and lesbians are different. Okay, yes, we are, because we're of our sexual orientation. But when it comes to this stuff, we're talking about the same sort of things that can happen for you, whether you're heterosexual, gay, transgender, bisexual. So those women showed up at your retreat. They're in this headspace of, oh, woe is me, no guy's going to check me out. What's one of the key things that you would say you took them through to start really helping them make that shift?
Okay, this is great. And by the way, dating, we all have dignity. It's a human a human thing, not a sexual orientation thing.
Absolutely.
And we have some gay and lesbian people on our list who are always asking me, will this work for me? So yes, this works for you. So one of the things that I invite people to do, and this is like an advanced move, so I'm giving you like the juicy advanced moves here, is to actually map out, like draw a little circle like you were going to make like a vicious cycle or a hamster wheel, you know, and mark out all the things, the steps that you do, which always lead you to the same outcome. Right. So it's like I meet someone, I tell myself, you know, this, I'm going to do this different. He really is into me. I get scared. I pull away, you know, whatever it is. Right. Or it could be I move in too fast. I have sex and I wasn't planning on it. Like, map out the steps, and it could be in a circle. It can be in a line, however you want.
Yep.
And every space in between one move to the next is what I call a choice point. And so each choice point is an opportunity for you to do something different. Now, you have three choices. You can change a thought, you can change a feeling, or you can change an action. But if you want to get a different result, this is your opportunity to step out of your pattern. And what's really cool is, even if you make the same choice that you normally do, you are doing it with a more awareness and more consciousness.
Absolutely.
And from that space, great. The next time it happens, you will perhaps do one thing a little bit differently next time. So map it out, become aware of what your choice points are, and slowly over time start to make different decisions.
Well, I love this because my next question to you is going to be, what are three mistakes people make? But I think you just outlined them. It's you can either choose from a feeling, you can choose from a thought, or you can choose from an action. And oftentimes what the biggest mistake people make in dating, and when they settle into, oh, I'm going to marry this person, or, oh yeah, this is the one, is they may be doing it for all the wrong reasons. They may be doing it to, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do. This is what I was meant to do based on society or my parents or my family. And I have to say, this is even beginning to happen right now in our gay and lesbian culture, with gay marriage becoming more accepted. And whatever, we're up to 34, 36, 38 states right now that have said, this is cool, let's make it happen for people, because people just love people. What's starting to happen is a little bit of an interesting backlash in the community of, why aren't you getting married? You've been together all this time. You should be getting married. When in reality, just because you've been together forever doesn't mean you have to get married, because gay marriage just suddenly became the thing you can do. So I think in your world, it's the same sort of stuff. It's like people get pressured to go, oh, you should be married by now, or you should be dating. So when you come across someone who's like, okay, I'm here, I'm dating this person, and oh, they're better than nothing, what do you say to them?
Well, first of all, for anyone who has ever shared a bed with somebody who they are not into, it is more lonely to be sleeping next to someone that you are miserable with than to be alone.
Okay, stop right there. That's like a tweet right there. It's more lonely to be sleeping next to someone that you're not into than to be alone. That is huge. And I think that's the biggest fear that most people get to, is this fear of loneliness. So why don't you take us a little bit further on that one, Marnie?
Well, you know, this is an interesting conversation. So I've been doing a lot of research, neuroscience, brain stuff. And 0 to 7 years old, developmentally, there are some things that we do. And there's this thing called binary thinking. And binary thinking is black and white. Right. And yeah. when you play peekaboo with an 18-month-old, they go, well, you know, they think you actually disappeared. Right. So what happens is that as we evolve past 7, a lot of us, for a variety of reasons based on our parenting, our background, whatever happens to us in that formative year, we don't progress on to analog thinking, which is able to make decisions in context. Right. Mm-hmm. So there you are in the dark of the night, and you are laying next to someone you're not into, and you are terrified of being alone. And you jump back into that pre-adolescent binary thinking, which is black and white thinking, right? So it's yep. either this or something worse, but there's no in between. And so the invitation really is to look at what I call a shade of gray. Mm-hmm. You have a lot of choices, right? You can leave your relationship. You can try and change your relationship. You can accept the person, really accept them as they are. You can change your perception of being in the relationship. There's so many choices. So we get caught up in that binary thinking, and that's because we just jump into that emotional child survival mechanism. So I really encourage your listeners, you know, you're not helpless. You're not a child. You're an adult. So to make choices in context as an emotional adult can completely transform the way you live your life.
This is so important, what you just shared. And I love that you have gone to that space of really researching this, because this completely aligns up with, especially in my world, when I'm working with someone who's coming out of the closet later in life, one of the things that happens is they never got to experience their adolescent gay life. So we passed over completely the adolescent dating and stuff through high school of dating someone of the same sex, because it wasn't socially acceptable at that time. Now, times are shifting, thank God. But then what happens is they come out, they're in this world dating, and they latch on the first thing that comes along, the first person, the first guy, the first gal. And then they settle because, well, this is better than nothing. This is better than being alone. And what you just described is absolutely the reason this happens, is because they just went back into their pre-adolescent thinking mentality of, well, this is how I have to do this. When in reality, you're a 35, 40, 50-year-old adult standing in a teenage adolescent body trying to make these decisions from that vantage point. So this is exactly why these things happen. So somebody's in that place. What you're suggesting is going back to what you already said, change the thought, change the feeling, change the behavior. That would be the best place to go.
Absolutely. And to make it really simple, there comes a time, and this is that choice point, where you have to break out of your childhood need winning out over your adult want, right? Yep. Your adult want has to win. It has to supersede this childhood need. In our mind, it's survival, but it's not, right? There's lots of choices. It's not this person or be alone. It's this person and be alone and create a life you love and find out that you're actually great, like fall in love with yourself. It's not this person or be alone. It's this person and start dating, right? See all the choices you have. Like, there's so many choices. We just have to be willing to step through the fear.
Well, also, too, the being alone piece is if we don't learn to be alone and we don't learn to love ourselves as we are, who we are, and I'm not talking the physical manifestation always. It's not just, oh, okay, I love myself because I'm a little overweight. You know, we can make those changes, but learning to be alone and love yourself fully, that's the key word, fully, will help you so much when that person or persons start to show up who says, I love you, but. If there's a I love you, but, okay, we can deal with that a little bit, but when it starts to take away the love that you feel for yourself, you're headed for disaster in dating. Am I right or
wrong? Yeah, totally. And really, people ask me all the time, what does it mean to date with dignity? And you just sort of explained it. Dating with dignity is that your self-love, your self-respect is always intact no matter what happens in terms of your relationship. You never really feel rejected because you know that it's just not your right match or that it's just not the right time. You don't take everything personally. And granted, it doesn't mean you're not going to be sad. You're not going to be heartbroken. You're not going to be hurt. Remember, it's not either or. It's just that you understand and you have a faith and a peace and contentment in your heart. And you know that you're going to be okay without a doubt, despite the pain.
Absolutely. So this is one of those places where, you know, getting ourselves in a really good frame of mind. One of the things that I think happens in our culture, gay, straight, heterosexual, bisexual, it doesn't matter to me. One of the things that gets in the way of really learning to love ourselves is having a good relationship with our booty calls. So I think this is something that can really mess somebody up internally. I have a perspective that booty calls serve a purpose, provided they serve that purpose. But the minute the booty call becomes the reason that you think you need to be in that relationship, you're on the end, like going over the cliff. Because the booty call becomes everything and you're not really able to see clearly why you're doing what you're doing. You have any perspective on this?
Yeah, I really do. And you hit on it, right? You said developmentally, and this is true for straight people too. They skip dating, right? They just, especially in like our generation, you know, it's like, oh, I'm supposed to go to college or I'm supposed to like graduate high school and get married and have babies and you do this thing, right?
Right.
And so there's this developmental process that all of us need to go through. And sometimes it includes the booty call, right? We need to like be in a place where we're having fun. We need to explore sexually. We need to get the power, you know, and learn what we love and learn what we don't love. And I think what's really important is this nuance that you said, until it doesn't work anymore.
Right.
And we know that. And I know in my journey, you know, I was totally like the queen of quality casual. And someone said to me, you were the most emotionally unavailable woman I've ever met. I totally turned into a dude, you know, like,
right.
I was like, you know, I gotta leave. I don't want to wake up in this person's bed, you know? And I realized, wow, I've got that one nailed. I can totally keep my heart protected. I can be the dude. I can leave.
Right.
And then I was like, wait a minute. I don't need to practice that anymore. I don't need to practice that. I need to practice receiving and being vulnerable and being open. And yeah, it didn't work anymore. So it's like be generous and loving with yourself if you're in that phase. And then be honest with yourself when one of my dear friends said, and so, you know, make this mean something for you. I've seen enough boobs. Like, yep. I'm done.
Right. Exactly.
You know, like, I've had all flavors and varieties. Yep. I got it. I'm ready for something more. And only you know when that's true for you. And yet you can't lie to yourself for too long or it starts to feel pretty crappy.
Right. Well, because the more you lie to yourself, the more you're not being yourself. I mean, it's one of my favorite things is pretending is like the death of anything. When you're pretending to be something you're not, then you're not truly being who you are. And the more we aren't who we are, the harder it becomes to get through life day in and day out. It doesn't matter if it's dating, in your work, in career stuff, in family stuff, you have to be authentically who you are. So
absolutely.
You started bringing up, touching on some stuff, which was very interesting about types of people and how we see ourselves. So I know you have this really great thing that you call the manimals, but as I looked at it, I'm like, wait, this isn't just about men. This is about women can do this. Gay guys
totally.
Can do this. It's about everything. So Marnie's manimal stereotypes are called the elusive, the hunter, the quality casual, the crybaby, and the boyfriend material. So in the time we got left here, I'd love you to just like really hit on each of those, because I think this applies to anybody, no matter what their sexual orientation is. These little avatars are truly out there in everybody's dating world.
Yeah. And I think the point of this is to, you can first of all self-identify, right?
Yep.
And then also you can just become more honest and select better when you're out there dating. So I think the hunter, we kind of alluded to the hunter,
yep.
But the hunter is the player, you know, someone who is just wants to sort of conquer and sleep with a lot of people and is in that sort of phase of their development. What's really interesting is a lot of people who are in this sort of category are will actually tell you, you know, like, I'm not looking for a relationship right now, but you're sexy, you're hot, I want you, you know, whatever it is that makes you feel good.
Yep.
So you want to, if you're looking for a relationship, you want to avoid the hunter and look out for what I just mentioned, and we call it the disclaimer. So the disclaimer is anything that is, you're really awesome, but, you know, I just got out of a relationship. You're really awesome, but, you know, I just came out. I'm just having, you know, a good time right now. Listen for the but. And then move on if you're looking for love,
yep.
Real love. So that would be the hunter. Mr. Quality Casual or Miss Quality Casual. And yes, there are plenty of women who are Miss Quality Casual.
Yep, yep.
You know, it's like you want to have companionship, you're dating, but you are just definitely not ready for a relationship because there's other things in your life that are more important. You're getting your master's, you are getting a promotion, you just got out of a divorce, you just... whatever it is. And so one of the best ways to identify a quality casual is that the relationship doesn't progress.
Right. The relationship, you know, isn't their priority.
Exactly. It's like you're once a week we have dinner and then on one, you know, weekend we go out. I always joke that, you know, you're in the relationship with quality casual when you find out he or she went on vacation from Facebook.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
You're like, I didn't know he was going on vacation. That's
right.
Weird, right?
Exactly. And so, I think a lot of my gay guys who fall into this one, this is one that they fall. I mean, there's a lot of them that are the hunters, but then there's this interesting quality casual where, yeah, I'm dating. I'm like, really? Okay, so how often do you guys see each other? Well, once a week. Okay, I'm like, well, then you're kind of casually dating. Well, is he good? Yeah, he's really great. He's wonderful. And then I'll say, so are you and the relationship a priority to him? Well, no, that's why I'm talking to you. I said,
yep.
Then you need to figure out if that works for you or if it doesn't work for you. So then we have Mr. Elusive. So how is Mr. Elusive different than the quality casual guy?
Well, Mr. Elusive, again, men and women,
yep.
They're those people that are like, it's not you, baby, it's me. You know, they're like, they're really emotional. They will get connected really fast, but they value their independence more than they value relationships. So they're the ones that are like, you know, I just don't understand marriage or, you know, free, you know, like, let's say I have like a Buddhist approach to like relationship, maybe, you know,
sure.
Rationalizing why like commitment, marriage, whatever, isn't really necessary to, you know, have a relationship. And I see men and women all the time, you know, like you love this person or you're so attracted, you start to try and sell yourself on the idea. Yeah, like I could have that. Like I get it. And if you're doing the hard sell on yourself and someone like is in and then they disappear, probably not a match.
Probably not. And, you know, obviously our little puppy friend that was barking in the back, he's taking this all in because he's gotten really quiet. He must know we were talking about it.
I changed my location.
Yeah, that's okay. No, that's cool. I love this stuff because this is real, folks. This is why we have these things that we're doing, because this is the real deal sort of stuff. So let's talk a little bit now about the crybaby. What is that one all about? Not that it probably needs a whole lot of explanation, but...
No, you know, the crybaby is the fixer-upper. You know, and again, I'm sure, you know, it doesn't matter your sexual orientation. These are the people that, you know, they're just, you know, they're not as far along on the consciousness, self-awareness path. And so maybe they are either, you know, experiencing a life as a result of addiction, or maybe they are in just getting in recovery, or maybe they are having financial troubles and, you know, are out of a job and just lost their house. And, you know, these are the people that for a certain set of us, and I used to be one of these, like the more broken you are, like the more I'm attracted to you because I'm going to jump in and I'm going to save you and, and all this kind of crap. So if you have a pattern of really attracting and being attracted to fixer-uppers, you got to say goodbye to the crybaby because, you know, they just are so open and they just, I need you and it feels good to be needed, but it's not healthy.
No, it's not healthy because then you end up constantly fixing things and then subconsciously, and I think a lot of people end up doing this, you love the feel. You and I are a lot alike. We love helping people, but when we realize... we're here to be of service. We're not here to fix. We're here to help them see the stuff they can't see. And I used to take that into my dating relationship. Okay, I'm going to help you. I'm going to do all this great stuff. But it was always subconsciously with the intention of, okay, I'm going to fix you because when I get you fixed, then we're going to have a really great relationship.
You fall in love with the potential.
Yeah, you fall totally in love with the future. So then, of course, we get to the real deal, the boyfriend, the girlfriend material, the ones that are really there. So what are some key things in these people? I would say emotionally available, number one.
Yeah, I joke about this, but I think it needs to be said again to everyone. Someone who is a relationship prospect is single. That doesn't mean they're fighting with their boyfriend or girlfriend. They're getting a divorce any day. You know, they're going to leave their wife. They swear, you know, they're single. So that's number one. Number two, and this I think is covers a lot. Their words and actions match. Right? Their words and actions match. So they say they're going to call at 7, they call at 7. If they don't, they send you a message and let you know what's going on. They say they want a relationship and they act like it. You know, they communicate even when it's bad news because they want to be honest. They want to be direct. And it's really important. I think, you know, my definition of a healthy relationship is one in which both parties are committed to their individual growth and the growth of the relationship. And so a person who's going to be a good partner for you is going to have some version of that. You know, they're willing to take responsibility for themselves, but they're also committed to being in a relationship, learning about you, making you happy. And you know, and I know this, you know this as well. When somebody finally meets that person, they're like, this is so easy because they're into you and it's obvious.
That is so key. It's so easy. And even when it's tough, it's easy because you're both working at, okay, we're in a tough spot here, so let's make this work. If that's what you both want, but you're going to come to that table and you're going to have that conversation. I don't mean literal table, but sometimes you will. You'll literally be at the table, but you'll be in that space. So in the last couple of minutes we have, I have one final question that always kind of pertains to my audience. And I would love to have you give your best piece of advice for someone who's coming through this challenging space of coming out. And I know that's not necessarily your forte, but it relates to people coming out of divorce or people coming out of a bad breakup. As you're coming out, coming out of that closet and just starting to get your dating shoes on, what would be the one thing you would say to someone that they really need to pay attention to?
Well, let me preface it with this. And I'm really glad that you sort of made that more global. I remember when I, first have my big wake up and I went and I did this retreat for 7 days and I came out really, you know, I realized like I had turned my back, you know, on my higher power. I I was worthy of love. And, you know, it was really big. And I will never forget this. I actually was finished this program and I went to go to Hawaii, and I happened to be going there with my parents. And my kids weren't there yet. And I went out to dinner with my mom and my dad. And my mom looked at me and she was like, "You're back. Like, I haven't seen this version of you since you were like a kid, like hopeful, optimistic, like it's you." And so for those of you who are coming out, who've come out, like, it's the same thing. It's like,
it is.
This is really me. Like, I'm here. Like, I'm back. Like, I get to really be authentically who I am. And so what I want to say to someone in that space is that you are somebody's miracle.
Yeah.
Like, someone is like dreaming about you. And so allow yourself to be found, you know, like learn the skills that you need to learn, whether they're emotional intelligence skills or dating skills or, you know, how to really be a great conversationalist or, you know, whatever it is, like learn what you need to learn, really dive into fully expressing yourself and loving yourself. And when you do that, your energy, you're going to just like catapult to the top 10% of the dating pool. You're going to be 10% better than 90% of the people. And then that person's going to find you. So when you're, you know, come out and be yourself and allow yourself to be found, because there's someone else who's just like, you know, waiting for their miracle, and it could be you.
Absolutely. And I love that you get this. You and I, of course, have talked about this numerous times, that coming out is coming out, no matter whether it's coming out of the closet to live your sexual orientation truth or coming out from a screwed up divorce to finally find yourself and doing what you just said, that you really become hopeful and optimistic and you're going to be who you are. So I just want to say thank you, Marnie, so much for being here today. Now, if people want to find you, they can go to datingwithdignity.com. That's probably the best place to start. And I believe your Twitter handle is at Marnie Batista. Is that correct?
Yep, at Marnie Batista. And we talked about, you know, the male archetypes.
Yep.
And we talked about how those are for all genders. We have a cool little thing called our 60 Seconds to Love quiz.
Yep.
And you can decide what's your type.
Yeah.
Who are you, right? So go to datingwithdignity.com and find out what your type is, and that'll give you an entry point into the wiser questions you can ask yourself so that you can really find the love of your life.
Absolutely. And I want everybody to know that you're going to land on Dating with Dignity. You're going to feel like it's just for women, but go dig around. Marnie's got beautiful stuff, videos, everything that will go any direction. It will cover whether you're gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, heterosexual, kind of like landing on my website. People kind of go, oh, he only works with gay men. But when you do a little bit of digging, you're going to find stuff. So again,
absolutely.
Thank you, Marnie, for being here. And I got to tell you, to my listeners, in the coming weeks, we're going to be doing some pretty cool stuff. We're going to be having some spirituality talks. We're going to be going into some acting stuff and how acting and really understanding who you are and learning some improv and stuff can really help you come out of the closet. And I want you to also, don't forget, run over to iTunes, give us some love with a rating and review. And while you're at it, why don't you go ahead and just hop on over to Facebook and like the Coming Out Coach, become a part of our family. And of course, for those of you who are birds and you love to tweet, you can always follow me on Twitter. My handle is at Rick Clemens. And the hashtag for the show is the Coming Out Lounge, pound Coming Out Lounge. And with that, we're going to say, see you next time. And remember, the truth of who you are is more important than the false truth of pretending to be someone you're not. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for joining us today with the Coming Out Lounge with your host, Rick Clemens. Make sure you tune in with us next week, same time, same place, for the Coming Out Lounge.